spatial knowledge
that is found in the written word.
Our eyes view Jesus
even as he sees us in himself. He is glorified this evening, even as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay.
So, this is the sixth section of the man, the message, and the mandate. Hallelujah. So, have a lot covered. Hallelujah. Okay. Before I forget, at the end of this month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be having a prayer retreat. Hallelujah. So we're having prayer retreat. At that time of the year, I'll talk to us about this at the end of this section. Hallelujah. So the man, the message, and the mandate. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority have been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So he said, this is Matthew's record of Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. Amen. Within the 40 days. And Mark will capture that instruction as to go make and to go preach the gospel. That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name don't cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. So they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Luke, capturing that instruction in Luke 24 verse 46, it says, thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins were preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. Watch what he said.
He said that it comes the gospel, the remission of sins.
Hallelujah. You know,
I told you that why
Matthew was focused on the discipleship part of that instruction. Now, I know I've had some people say, why would they record it in different format? Some people have said that. Why was it recorded in different format? Are you sure it was really an instruction? No, don't be stupid. If I pick four people's notes now, just within the past 3 seconds or 1 minute I've spoken, your notes can be the same. Hallelujah. Now imagine he was teaching them for 40 days, and within those 40 days there were a whole lot of instructions. And those instructions will be the same. Hallelujah. Because there will be instructions from the scriptures for 40 days.
Hallelujah. Okay,
hallelujah. Yes. So Matthew will say, we'll deal with the discipleship part of that instruction. Hallelujah. We'll deal with the discipleship part. They make disciples. Mark will tell you disciples will be made by first preaching the gospel. Right? Preaching the gospel. Which Luke will call the gospel is repentance and remission of sins. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of sins. That is to say, what you get when a man repents is the forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. So we said in the new birth, when a man gets born again, what he receives is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. What he receives is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. So when his sins are remitted, he is not a disciple. Hope you are following me. He's not a disciple. And there's an instruction by Jesus that in Matthew 28 that they should be taught, teaching them. So we began looking at the word teaching them. Hallelujah. That is the word in the Greek didache, where we have the word didache and didaskalia and the Didas family.
Amen. The Dasko, the Daskalia, the Dache, the Dasikos,
the Daskalos,
and the Didas. That's several Didas. Amen. Amen. So we're focusing on the Didache, which is because you can't talk about a Didasko without a Didache.
Amen. When you say teaching them, that word there is an active word. Amen. It's an active word. But yet you don't talk about that activity without how the activity is carried out, which is what the mode of explanation, Didache.
And we said a good teacher is first of all a good student. Right?
And a good student is one who is saying as a good listener and a good reader.
That was what we said. And we found that pattern in Jesus. Right? We find that as a custom in Jesus. Luke chapter 4 verse 16.
He had a custom of going into the synagogue. Luke 4 16.
Bible says as his custom was, he goes into the synagogue.
Now the synagogue is where the scriptures are being read.
Hope you are following me.
Where the scriptures are being read. So Jesus is always found in the synagogue where the scriptures were being read. Hope you are following me. Amen. That gives us a pattern. That gives us a pattern. How Bible should be understood. How scripture should be understood. Is that you are first of all taught. Never skip that. You are first of all taught. And then you read. That is why many are times. Listen, until you have taught something from the scripture, you don't say, most times you don't even get to wonder. Well, I've read this thing, why didn't I see it? Why would you have seen it? There's a pattern. Amen? There's a pattern. You are first taught.
What are you following me?
Amen? Glory to God. You are first taught. See, why are you reading it? Is it not the same?
No. It's not just the same.
Somebody has to teach that you see.
What are you following me?
What are you following me? Look at the guy. The Ethiopian Enoch. He was on his way and was reading Isaiah. At some point, he couldn't just comprehend it.
Amen. For those of us who are women, I try to explain that to you.
Amen. He couldn't understand it. How? How?
So some people have said, no now, it's not Isaiah. His understanding was wrong. He's literally to be youth. Without their pieces. You won't even get it. Because he started on a high note.
Amen.
If you look at Isaiah.
If you look at how Isaiah, don't worry, we'll deal with Isaiah in the coming days. Hallelujah. When I mean deal with, we're going to look at Isaiah.
Now if you look at how he began to speak about the Messiah, he spoke about him, the prophet, which is the Messiah, spoke about him as the king.
Hallelujah. Before then he says, the government shall be on his shoulder. He shall be the prince of peace. This is that he's the prince, he's the king. And all of a sudden, is now as the sheep to the slaughter. So the Ethiopian Enoch was surprised. He said, what speaketh he? Of, is he talking about himself or someone else? This is that because there's already a contrast there. Some people are like, what's happening? All we are sheep have gone astray. Everyone, what's happening here?
Amen.
So he needed who? He needed someone to explain to him. You see that? That is the pattern. You have to be taught to read well.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and Philip taught him. Hallelujah. You know, from that scripture, he taught him in all the scriptures concerning Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Very vital. Very vital. Amen. So you have to be taught. And how did Philip know the apostles? How did the apostles know Jesus taught them?
But what did they?
Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. That becomes very fundamental. That's a pattern that you must know. So, something you also will see as a pattern also is the fact that Jesus will give instructions to his disciples, his men. Watch that. His disciples, his men. And I told you that before he gave them that instruction, they were first of all saved. Amen. How did they get saved? And you know, some people will tell you the disciples got saved in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. It's not true.
And then, when the Holy Ghost came, now they know.
Amen. They got saved before then. Hope you're following me. They got saved in Luke 24. And he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures.
Isn't that?
He opened he their, that is the point of salvation. I've shared that with us. Amen. So what happened in Luke? Acts 2 was that they took of what they have within upon. Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon them. That is, they already have the Holy Ghost inside.
So when you use the word upon, it's to take up what you have already available. Understand? So when Jesus says you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, he was referring to the fact that they will take it from within upon. Did you see that? Amen. Hope you're following me. So just like you don't miss it there. So that means when given the instruction, they were already disciples. Amen. Now something else you're going to see that we'll get to in the course of our teaching is that he will tell them is a very fundamental part of the instruction he gave to them, that they didn't find when he gave it to them, when he gave them similar instruction within the four gospels. How? He told them to go into all the world. In the four gospels, before the resurrection, they were restricted to Israel. They were restricted to a certain place. But now he tells them go into all the world, beginning at Jerusalem. Did you see that? So that instruction that we're going to see as we get into our topic really. We are just getting into the topic. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So let's see something. So we say that is a pattern that you will find in the Genesis, where God, the pattern where God will send his man. Amen. His people, his all, the man in his image. See that? That is a pattern. And we said the man in his image is called son. I have to be fast because I have a lot to look at today. The man in his image will be called son. Are those guys going to have their topic outside today? Have mercy on David. Jesus, have mercy on me. Amen. Now listen for me. Is that correct? Okay, what's supposed to be like? Crystal correct. Oh, God, man, thank you. God bless you. Bless your heart. Even if you want to laugh at your pastor, God will judge you. Okay. Okay. Let's continue. Okay, where were we? Okay, the man in his image. I would say the man in his image is called what? Son. Did you say that? It's called son. How many of you understand the concept of son now? Did you get that? I hope you understand the concept of son. You don't necessarily need to have a woman. You say Jesus is the son of God. You don't need to have they shouldn't be who is the mother, who is the wife. No. Amen. But your son. Okay, so Jesus is called son, or the man in his image is called son. Hallelujah. Just like in the resurrection, we are called sons like Jesus. Isn't that? We are called sons like Jesus. I showed us something last week that we're going to get into one more today. It is the fact that our sonship is patterned after that of Jesus. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. It's patterned after that of Jesus. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began looking at the concept of son. I was said, in the concept of son, you don't need to have a woman. Amen. It mustn't be biology. Because when you push biology there, you're going to miss the concept. Hallelujah. Are you trying to say, sir, that people who give... No, it was used for both biology. People who are your son by birth, who you gave birth to, and is also used. Many a science is not used, or in its application is not used in terms of biology. Amen. Not used in terms of biology. Just like Israel is called the son of God. It's called the son of God. Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus quickly. Verse 22, it said, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, a nation. But then I thought it's a man that he calls for me. A nation of both men and women. Amen. He called them sons. So son is not restricted to a male child. No. Glory to God. Son is not restricted to a male child. Then we have sons, we have daughters. We are kings, we are queens. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So son, you know, God did that deliberately. Because when he called, used the word son, it was a deliberate attack on their patriarchal system. Hallelujah.
It was a deliberate attack on their patriarchal system.
Where's the son? And a man and a woman is found in song. Amen. Glory to God. And that is God intervening in man's confusion. Hope you're saying that. Man stole who are for me.
God is intervening. And he calls everybody son. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
That was why, for you to know that they have a patriarchal system, that was why women were not counted for in genealogy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But in the genealogy of Christ, we found women there. We'll deal with that. We'll get the patriarchal.
Glory to God. Amen. Find a woman there. Very vital. So let's see a few things. So let's see a few things here. Verse 23. Now look at even my firstborn. So we said the word son is used for the Bekorah. Right? So when you hear Bekorah, which is firstborn, it doesn't mean first child or first son. It doesn't mean first child. It actually means is the same concept of sonship. Did you see that? Bekorah. That word there is the word the Bekor, where you have the word Bekorah. Also in verse 23, you find that let my son go that he may serve me. May serve me. Abad. Serve me. Is it that? That he may serve me. To serve. Hope you're following that. To serve. So that means the concept of sonship, as we said, deals with responsibility. Service. Not necessarily sitting on one chair and first child. No. It deals with service. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It deals with service. So, responsibility. Also, when you hear the word Bekorah, Bekorah is, we said, firstborn. It's actually the right. When you hear the word Bekorah, it is for the right of the firstborn. Hallelujah. I will say the right of the firstborn is the right of the man or the child that stands in the position of the father. That is to say, what does the father? Who is the father? That child takes up the responsibility of his father. Okay, follow me. So his father is a pastor. The firstborn is the child that takes over that responsibility. What if all of them not does the responsibility? They are all called firstborn. So firstborn is not suited to a child. Amen. So Moses will not teach that. Now one will not teach them how to honor the office of the responsibility of the firstborn, or which is what service, right? Right? Just something of the man who serves. Now he who does he pick as the one who serves? Levite. Did you see that? The Levite. He picks the Levite. So the Levite will represent that man who serves. Hope you're following me. Now he will now talk about the first child also. Now that the first child, which is the man after the stead of his father, he will not say, first of all, so he will not say, if a man gives birth to 10 children, you divide his portion into 11. You see that? You divide it into 11. And you do what? You will give 2 into the hands of the firstborn. And others will take one to show double portion. You see that? So the double portion there is just to show honor. You see that? For that office. So the double portion is an office. Is honor. So Paul will pick that up. Look at Paul in 1 Timothy. So when Paul says this in 1 Timothy, quickly rush to 1 Timothy, quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. He said, let the elders who that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. Is that the first one? That's the first one. That is office. Hope you're following me. Double honor. And when it says that, you go back to the Exodus to see. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Responsibility. Also, hope you're following me. When you look at 2 Kings, another place to find the story of firstborn. But these are not used as firstborn. 2 Kings, quickly. Elisha and Elijah. Chapter 2, verses 15. Let's see. 2 Kings 2:15. And I need you to pay attention to this closely. I mean, verses 9. It says, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let the double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You listen to that? Double portion of thy spirit. Now, double portion of thy spirit there, if you are a good student of scripture, you don't come here and say double portion. That means what Elijah did, Elisha will do times two. No. You did that? Amen. Double portion means what Elijah, if Elijah went one step, Elisha will go 10 steps. That is double. No. Amen. Because you're a good student, when you see double portion there, you know double portion is Moses' language. That is why Jesus will accuse the Pharisees, have you not read? Did you see that? So when everyone says double portion means, if I take one step, you take two steps. That is double portion. You tell the person, have you not read? When Moses divided this portion, he gave double to the firstborn. Amen? Okay, Moses, he gave double to the firstborn. What does that mean? Oh, have you not read that the firstborn, the Bekorah, is the son? And the son is the man in his image. Adam was the son of God. Genesis chapter 5 verse 1 to 3. Isn't that? So, wow. So, can you not see how Jesus will tackle the Pharisees? You don't jump to the middle. You have to go back. So when you go back and hear what Elisha said, you know Elisha has read the scriptures. But when he says double portion, look at what Elijah said. He said, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. You see that? Because he's asking for that office. He knew it was the office. You see that? That is the office of the son. Okay, follow you. That's the office of the firstborn. That's what he asked for. Nevertheless, if thou shalt sin when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Isn't that? And we heard the story. Look at verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the water, they parted Tita, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophet, so we use another word, sons of the prophet. I was referring to the people. Now when you hear sons of the prophet, don't you mean the children that prophet gave birth to through their wife? No! When you use the word sons of the prophet, these are people that followed Elijah. Before now, who is Elisha? Elijah was part of the sons of the prophet. Who are following? So the sons of the prophet are the people that followed Elijah. Now why are they called sons of the prophet? Because they walk together with Elijah. Amen. Did you see that? So they are called sons by responsibility, not by biology. What are you following? What are you following? They were called sons by responsibility because they walked together with the prophet. What are you following me? Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, look at that passage. And when the son of Saul, none, the spirit of the Elijah does rest on Elisha, and they came to him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So what does that show? This is the new prophet. Amen. So they all came and bowed to him because Elisha is now in that office of Elijah. Hope you are following me. The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. That is it. That is the office. So who would they now be? They will now be sons of prophets working with who now? Elisha. Hope you are following me. Amen. They will serve together with Elisha. Hope you are following that. Amen. When then will you find the word sons used? Used for the actual sons of Aaron. What do they do with Aaron? They minister together with Aaron. So sons, though they were, for Aaron, they were biological children, but they were called sons of Aaron because they ministered alongside their father. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. So that was where you now get the word sons of the prophet from. We're going to deal with all that next week. Amen. So to be a pattern for Aaron. And then you also find it again in Samuel. Hope you are following that. You find it in Samuel. Glory to God. To be a pattern. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you understood that. So we began looking at the concept of sonship. I would say he's one who stands in the stead of his father's office. Right? Right? Okay. And we began asking ourselves two questions. Since Adam is the son of God, that means Adam will carry on God's task. That means when you hear the word son, Bekora, it's loosely related to God's passing of the earth. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. After this, we'll take up another teaching that will further portray this. We'll look at understanding the gospel this year. Just to further portray what I say.
Amen. Glory to God.
So let's say a few other things to this. So we began looking at what is God's task that we'll find in Adam, right? Hallelujah. Now when I know this, I'll know what the Bekora is all about. So we looked at Genesis 1 from verse 1 to 3, right? God's task is in all the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Right? God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth also has form and void. And darkness also formed the surface of the sea. Darkness was going to be the deep. So we looked at Tohua Bohu, right? So God's task is in all the earth. God's task is in all the earth. So when you hear the word Tohu Bohu, the earth of that form and void, Tohua Bohu, form and void there is used to express the supernatural state of man. Man was without form and void. I would say that is chaos. Tohua Bohu is chaos. And the opposite of chaos is what? Rest. Was that what we said? The opposite of chaos is rest. So where will you find rest? When God, in God's Sabbath. You see that? You find rest in God's Sabbath. What is God's Sabbath? In heaven, in the earth. Okay, for you. So that would be the answer. That would be the light. So when God said, let there be light, that would be the opposite of chaos. Rest. Okay, for you. Amen. That would be the opposite. Let there be light. So he calls the chaos darkness. Now that darkness is not physical darkness there. No, it's not physical darkness.
Darkness is upon the surface of the deep. Darkness. So it shows you that man's problem is not physical. Man's problem is supernatural. The darkness there is supernatural. So man's problem is supernatural.
Hallelujah. Not natural. The problem to man is not political. It's not a political movement. No. It's not more money in the system. No. It's not trying to reduce inflation. No. That is not the origin of man's problem. The origin of man's problem is supernatural. And the answer is in the mouth of the church. Hallelujah. So when believers begin to look at the political leader for their solution, for the solution to man's problem, that would be a waste of time. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Man's problem is supernatural and the answer is God. When God said, let there be light, I am all, which is I am light. See that? God gave himself as the answer. Hallelujah. God is the answer to man's problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And that answer will be light in all the earth. Will be light. That will be God's task. How will God's task? That will be God's mandate. Light in all the earth. That will be the mandate. Light in all the earth. When you say light in all the earth, there is no segregation. There is no segregation. It's not for a set of people. It's not for some people. It's all the earth. Hallelujah. All the earth. And earth there is used for man. We're going to see that shortly. Earth there is used for man. Alright. Used for man. All the earth. So God doesn't segregate. Glory to God. God doesn't. God doesn't. God doesn't segregate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will put it like this in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Okay, let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I need to see. Verse 1 to 2. Quickly. Verse 4. It says, who will have all men? Is that all there? Is it some men or few men? All men, right? Every man. To be saved and to come
absolute knowledge of the truth.
So God passes in all the earth, all them.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. All men. So let's see something. So when he says light in all the earth, let's see how Paul will explain that light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there? Now, I need you to bear in mind Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Now let's see this. Verses 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. Say, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Watch this. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Now, watch this. He says, who the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not? Is that Genesis 1, 2? Who the God of that blinded? That is when you find the word blinded, it's when you find the word darkness. So he's telling you that Genesis 1, 2 is dealing with the minds of men. And he says that darkness there is the work of the devil in unbelief. Okay, follow me. And that is why the first mention of unbelief in Genesis chapter 3, you will find the serpent, the devil. Hope you're following me. It's Satan's work in unbelief. Hallelujah. And when you find unbelief, it's supernatural. I say, unbelief is just there. It's just, no, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need to know this. And all this is coming because we've been taught, because these are coming because of our CRC. You are a territorial army. Glory to God. You are a territorial army. So you have been prepared for war. Now the believer's lifestyle is a life of constant war. Constant. So you see this. So when you say unbelief is supernatural, then let so you know that when you're going into evangelize, it's not by fair weather speak.
Don't worry, you don't speak grammar.
Phone doesn't work.
When you go to phone call.
Well, if this is somebody who's done praying in the Holy Ghost, he goes to evangelize, I cannot speak English, I'm speaking Yoruba, people are getting saved. Say, he's using jazz. Sure, alright.
What's this I can do?
What's that?
He says, people are not getting saved. He says, because that person understands how to exercise his right in Christ.
He knows that for the man to be saved is by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So he said to you before coming out. For a man to have one belief, that person, the devil is dead. Amen. Oshak was sharing with us recently how he went to school of his friend one time. He came to school unnecessarily angry.
Again, the guy went to get something. So, as the guy went to get something, he knew that the devil was in charge of anger. So he said, as the guy went out to pitch that, he said, he spoke and said, you demon, as you've gone with him, don't come back with him. So when the guy came back, the answer was gone. The guy was, you know, you guys that, you know, you've heard before. But there was no way, anything was just flowing. Because he knew that the devil didn't come back to him. You just have to know.
Hallelujah. You will figure out the devil in people's attitude, in people's character. That is why you have God's army. You should know what to do. Hallelujah. Go to God. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Amen. After our prayer retreat, we're going to look at our rights and privileges in Christ. Glory to God. You need to know what your rights are.
But this is not it. Because you are a territorial army.
Hallelujah.
You are a territorial army.
You are God's army. So you can't be doing evangelism as though you are doing marketing.
You know, sometimes you can try to switch the role. Think it's marketing.
You try to win the heart. You are canvassing. Yeah, if you use ordinary men's word, but it will be ordinary men's word with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You don't trust in your marketing skills. Digital skills.
No, you don't need that.
Hallelujah. You don't need those skills.
What you need to know is God's word and the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul would say, I came unto you not in excellence of your speech, but with a demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And your faith do not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Glory to God. How many people do you call a child of God? So when you have been taught like this, it's not you know what to do. You don't just step out from evangelism. No! 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 How about from today? Before you go out from evangelism, you're going for 2 hours evangelism. Why not spend 1 hour to pray? Pray for the men you will see. Pray for the men you will meet. Hallelujah. And see evangelism go the way evangelism should go. Hallelujah. Don't just step out. See what I'm going to do evangelism. I'm going to do follow up. Before you know, from follow up to follow up on now. You follow up where? Hallelujah. Follow up where? How about going out for follow up and you have done praying? Praying. Praying the Holy Ghost and then you go out for follow up. Let's do that. Let's invite that as a culture. And then come back and tell me how your follow up is from today. Hallelujah. Don't step out for follow up without praying. Okay. Don't say, how do you go to follow up? No, pray first. Hallelujah. Pray first. Personally first.
Alright,
you don't pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for the person. Pray for the person. Pray for the person you're going to see for good. You pray. Hallelujah. You pray. You're going to do emergency. You pray. Hallelujah. And then you say, come back in here and tell me at the end of this week how your evangelism went. Hallelujah. Amen. But what is it called? How is it called? Amen.
You must be deliberate. You must be deliberate. Deliberate about men. Deliberate about women. Deliberate about people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are hearing me. Very deliberate. Pastors also, get deliberate. Get deliberate, very deliberate. Say only that, get deliberate about the places you want to go. Once you win someone, and the person attends your cell meeting, after the first meeting together, carry the person for evangelism. I don't want to see only cell leaders that's doing evangelism. What about your cell members? Their responsibility is written in heaven. No, you carry them along. Hallelujah. Let them see you preach. Let them see you preach. Give them opportunities to preach. That's why you are there with them. Hallelujah. While you're there with them, let them see you preach. Give them opportunities to preach. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. Where do we leave it? Where were we? Okay, 2 Corinthians, right? And then whom the God of this world has blinded in the mind of them which believe not. Did you see that? So that is Genesis 1:2. Live the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Genesis 1:3. Did you see that? Genesis 1:3. Who is the image of God should shine on them. So, come on. Look at it. The light of the gospel of Christ. And God said in chapter, just follow that scripture in Genesis 1:1-2. Their eyes were blinded, Genesis 1:2. God said in verse 3, let there be light, and fall falls out like the light of the gospel. Hallelujah. The light of the gospel. So that means, when God said let there be light, it is responsibility for his sons. Hallelujah. Responsibility in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. So how would God light up the earth? It will be via the gospel preached. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me.
Hallelujah. So therefore, when a man believes, light shines in that person. Hallelujah. Light shines. Light shines through the chaos. Light shines in the darkness. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. When a man believes, light shines.
Light shines. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the responsibility of God's man is preaching.
That is the service. That is responsibility. The responsibility isn't preaching.
is a preacher. You say, I'm not a preacher, I'm a member. No! Every believer is a preacher. Hallelujah. Every believer is a preacher.
So when I get to Genesis 1, 26, God created man, I mean, let me find that image after our likeness. We're going to see a broader picture today of that word. After our likeness, let me have dominion over the fish of the sea, the cattle, over the fish of the sea, over the cattle.
About the birds of the air, about every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth, and God created man in his image. It is in the image of God created he, male and female created he them. 28. And God blessed them, and God said, let them be, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. So, is there when, and I told you when he had replenished the earth then, is by preaching.
It's not by giving them. God said we should be fruitful and multiply. We should fill the air. So you have to give them to eat. Continue. You have God record. At least they'll give you Guinness Book of Records. But that is not fulfilling God's task.
How about that? The man who was told to fill the air, the first man, Adam, only gave birth to two. One died, he gave birth to another set. They gave birth to three. One died, two remained. And you are here in Africa,
so that the African Indian too, thinking it's like giving birth to all the children in the... Say no, let me give you some thoughts that someone said.
Someone was told, a woman was told, why not put child control? He's giving birth to 9 months. Put child control. He said, no, I'm going to give birth to all the children that God has put in my womb. Shake your bulova.
What nonsense is that?
Say all the children God has given you. Say her prophet told her that she has children of nations. That she has nations in her womb. Nations. Say until she was given to all of them. That they shall fulfill destiny. I think which kind of destiny is that? You have given to 9 already. 9. 9. And you have to give one nation. What other nation do you need? Yeah? That is crazy. She was even the one that had that first responsibility. She only gave birth to three. Come on. Who child control?
Say no. Child control is the sin. It is the sin.
Say you are not fulfilling destiny. What is destiny? Give birth to the wealth of the nation. No one. You give birth to the first thing.
You know, there's nothing like that. You know, so stop that crazy talk. Now to give birth to all the children that God has put in my womb. You just see ignorance at work. Because when you now show the person that no,
it's not you that carry the children, it's the man that carry the children. You know, that is actually a defeating of their own theory. All the children you have in your own care.
Continue. So it will not be, so when you use the word, let there be fruitful there, we will not be talking about giving birth to children, biologically, right? But we're talking about fruitfulness will be concerning what? Will be concerning what? Come on, let me see. Will be concerning what? Concerning what?
Wait, what does it mean? The generic word.
Huh?
Fruitfulness, then we're talking about disciples, men who are risen.
We're talking about men who are risen. Disciples. Hallelujah. Men who are risen. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus tells his disciples, go and bear fruit. Fruit that will remain. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. So when it says subdue, have dominion over the fish of the sea. So remember, it calls fruitfulness, it now talks about replenish. So when you use the word replenish there, you should already know. It's not talking about a start, right? But it was a restart of another kind. Hallelujah, a restart. That means there are people already who are available, who are not in it. So you should now produce God and man in men. Hallelujah. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. The further that
dominion over the
sea. Let them subdue dominion. He's further explaining what the fruitfulness is over the fish of the sea. He's not talking about catching catfish and killing them or eating goat meat. I'm having dominion on.
You kill ram. You say, I'm having dominion over the ram. I kill bird. I'm having dominion over the cat. No, that's not it.
Hallelujah. But you say, have dominion there is talking about fruitfulness. I will use the word. When he uses the word animals there, as like I taught you last week, animals are used for the different kinds of men you will find on your way to fulfilling God's task in all the earth. Right? He should describe men. Hallelujah. Go on, deal with all that shortly. I will say that same responsibility is what we find as we're tilling the ground. Hallelujah. To till the ground. I would say Moses will employ a word that was used to them.
What? We use the word till because they were agrarian. So we use the word till. Till doesn't mean if you start being a farmer. No, till the ground there will be a word that is known to them. And they will know it has to do with what science. You see that? Service, responsibility. Till the ground. Is there a way you want to talk about the sonship, which was part of what we will see before we close today, will be seed. He will use seed to describe something else, not necessarily carrying seed of life. Did you get that? Amen.
Let me follow you. Hallelujah. So he uses the word seed there. The same responsibility. He now calls that responsibility of replenishing the earth. He calls it to till the ground. Genesis 2 verse 5. That is the word abad. The same thing too you find in Genesis 2 verse 16. He said to dress and to keep the garden. He put man in his garden to dress and to keep it. So that means we have a responsibility in the Garden of Eden to keep it. Hallelujah. Would that be by the preaching of the gospel? Emphatically, yes. Hallelujah. To spread his gospel in all the earth. See, the whole earth becomes his garden. Hallelujah. What are you following me? In Genesis 4, we began looking at something. Genesis 4. I will stay with verse 15. And he said to him, therefore, verse 14. He said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. Now I told you, when you hear the word face of the earth there,
was not referring to Cain is now going to outer space, since God has kicked him out of the earth. No. Earth, for example, is used for man, right? Earth is used for God's presence. Did you see that? Earth is used supernaturally. Earth is used for God's presence. Say, from thy face shall I be healed. So the word earth there is used for God's face. God's presence.
Hallelujah. Is it now to be away from God's presence, man is called vagabond and fugitive. Or fugitive and vagabond. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Man is called a fugitive and is called as a vagabond. Let's see something. Remember, Cain rejected God's responsibility, right?
And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's shamar? The responsibility you will find in Adam in Genesis 2:15, to dress and to keep. Am I my brother's shamar? It was a rejection. And God had warned him before time. He said, if you do good, then thou shalt be accepted. But if you do not, he said what? Sin lies at wit in your heart. Do you see that? Amen. And you shall be his desire. Now, very vital.
Very vital. So, Cain rejected God's offer, God's promise, and he was driven out. That would be a rejection. Did you see that? It is a rejection. Hallelujah. Right then, look at what he was told. In verse 12, he said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. You see that? The Lord God yield to you that strength. It means Cain will not be found in God's purpose. God's sacred purpose.
You will not be found in it. So he said, it will no longer yield to you of
I mean, shall no longer yield to thee her strength. It means you will not be found in it. Hallelujah. You will not be found in God's sacred assignment in the earth. That is, when a man is not born again, to be away from God's presence, which is to be on, for you to be away from God's presence, which is to be unbelieving, not to be born again, is to be without purpose. To be without purpose. That is what is described as fugitive and vagabond. Noah and Nod. N-U-A-N-O-D. Noah Nod is used for not having a purpose. When something is just going up and down without a purpose. So it's used for purpose. When something has no purpose. So K will be without a purpose. Do you see that? So to be away from God's presence is to be without a purpose. Are you following me? Is to be without a purpose. So therefore, to be born again is to be in God's purpose, God's sacred place. Therefore, the Bekorah will be to be in God's purpose, to be in responsibility. Bekorah takes you back to Bekorah. When you have Bekorah, which is the firstborn, right? Not the firstborn. It means you have a purpose. It means you'll be found in God's assignment. Hope you're following me. So here, Bekorah, it means I have a purpose to be in God's assignment. Hope you're following that. Therefore, when I get to Genesis 22, verses 2, and God spoke unto Abraham and said, speak now thy son, thy only son Isaac. When you hear the word thy son, thy only son Isaac, Isaac would therefore, it will be Abraham's son. There will be Ishmael, but it will not be Ishmael. It will be Isaac that will be called son. That means Isaac will bear the Bekorah, will bear the responsibility of Abraham. Did you see that? Isaac will bear Abraham's responsibility as the Bekorah. Hallelujah. Not Ishmael. Because in chapter 21 verse 9, Ishmael mocked, and I showed you to mock there, it means to disdain, to speak wrongly, hallelujah, to have a loose speech, to have a loose voice, to have a loose mouth, talk anyhow, hallelujah, and he spoke anyhow of the Bekorah, See, let me share something with you. When it comes to the supernatural, whatever you mock, especially when it has to do with work of ministry, whatever you mock, you will never find it in your life. You will never. Pastor Shekhu warns us. Even when it comes to prayer, don't mock prayer. Amen. Some people just enjoy watching skits. Now they change it from comedy to skits. And this pastor did not say we should not. There is a people who are bent for it. They say, pastor wants us not to do comedy. Let them be doing skits. Nonsense. It's comedy. Amen. Some people just like skits and they talk about pastors. I told you. There are some comedians that I like. But I can't listen to them anymore. The moment I got that warning, it went into the core. Core. I can't watch them anymore. Because it's funny. Whatever you mock, even prayer. Hey, what about that? I'm mocking. Don't mock prayer. I believe. Pastor Shekhu is God's prophet in our world and in our day. I believe so. So strong. Amen. And you know, when God wants to say something to us in his church, he uses his son. He uses his prophet. Hallelujah. He said it to us. And he said, it was a warning. Don't even mock. He said it like 2 years back. He said, don't even mock that somebody is not praying well. You're laughing. He look at how they are praying. And you're not praying. No, don't. You don't mock sacred things. Hope you're hearing me. You don't mock sacred things. You don't.
I remember a time ago we used to hear some people's songs there. In fact, someone will come and give brilliant card jokes. This one song is like this, one song is like this. Until one day we were one. Hey, like, we were one. Not a thing. We didn't have to. We were one. Because you don't joke with circle things. Because before you know it, it becomes, you now begin to joke with very important issues. You know, you now get to the core. No longer, you are no longer able to receive. No, you don't move from. Move from. Have people rejoice. You don't even mock it. There's a little bit of rejoice. No! Amen? One day someone came to meet me. He meets you like you don't want to meet him. Because you can be meeting. And then he said, why don't you watch that person's song? I said, why? He said, I think it's not the real song. I was shocked. Me as pastor, I was shocked. I said, how? So you know, it sounded like demonic tongue. I said, come. Are you now a monitoring spirit? How do you know real tongue and fake tongue? No, just the way it sounds.
Kubashu.
How? Vivian, how? Are you now the Holy Ghost? I got no real tongue from fake tongue.
Hey, even me, I've not gotten to this spiritual height.
Yes, now. Maybe I will not give you my microphone now. You will not take over ministry.
My sin has come. I don't understand.
What do you mean like that?
Amen?
Mock. They mock serious things. They take serious matter. Cheese like they just take it for a joke.
No, don't do it.
Hallelujah. Okay, Jeremy. Don't do it. Don't mock.
Supernatural things, because anyone who does that is equated. Listen, is equated to Cain. Is equated, not as you have to Cain too. Is equated to Cain. Cain is equated to Esau and to Ishmael. They mocked spiritual things. They treated it with disdain.
Okay, this is with disdain,
and it's not of God. Hallelujah. Open your ears to me. Amen. So, Isaac is called son, not Ishmael. Did you see that? But are both of them the children of Abraham? Yes. But in Isaac you find son. Open your ears to me. Amen. The one that will stand in the stead of his father. The same words used for Isaac here will be found in Jesus. John chapter 1. Look at John 1:18. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Getting into some resource now. John 1:18. Hope you're following. Look at John 1:18. It says, no man has seen God at any time. It says, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
You see? He called Jesus the Son.
Only begotten.
Thy only son Isaac. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Amen. The only begotten. That's the word begotten only son. It's used for a unique son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see a few things about Jesus now. In John chapter 1 there, verses 14. Oh, I'll start from verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Say, what was in the beginning with God? He takes you back.
So, okay, how do you do this now? I'm going to deal with this when we get to understand the gospel.
But just let's see a few things. He says, all things are made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. He said, in him was light, and the light was the light. In him was light, and the light was the light of... He was light, and the light was the light of men. What am I reading now? And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man who was sent from God, whose name was John. The same was sent to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light. Which light of the man that cometh into the world? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
We're going to deal with all this. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, so yet he gave the power to become the sons of God. You see that?
Jesus, as many as received him.
Go back. Is that the acceptance of the Bekova? Emphatically,
yes! We're going to get there.
Do you see that? Let's get the right thing called the Son of God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So how did they receive him? The Word of God. Yeah, we're not talking about youth now. We're talking about in the scriptures. Genesis to Malachi.
That many have received him,
but they became so powerful before the sons of God. Even for them that believe on his name.
Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Look at verses 18. I mean verses 14. And the Word became flesh. You see that? In the fullness of him, he became flesh and tabernacled among us. Do you see that?
The Word became flesh.
Now it was that Word that became flesh that tabernacles among us, so that he now said no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. Now when you read the word Son, was referring to the Word that became flesh. So we therefore said Jesus is called Son of God because he became flesh. Because of that incarnation is why he's called the Son of God. So therefore the question to now ask is, who was he before now? Before he became man. Before the incarnation, who was he? He is the Word. Did you see that? In the beginning was the Word. So that means I will. But when he said the beginning was the Word, John was writing from Genesis. So that means when I get to Genesis, I will find him as the Word, and he will be God. So who is Jesus before the incarnation? He is God. So God becoming a man, that incarnation is what makes him son. Remember, sonship deals with responsibility, deals with service. If you're sleeping before, sleep on. Just like Jesus told the disciples, sleep on before you miss what I'm about to say now. Amen.
Amen.
Sleep on. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Now let's see a few things that I want to show you. A proof of his sonship will be Luke 4:18. Look at Luke 4:18 quickly. Now when I told you that the sonship will be because of what?
The incarnation. And sonship deals with responsibility. Hallelujah.
Amen. Next time you sleep again, I'll lose your sleep. As a monumental sacrifice. Amen. Come and sit down immediately. Amen. No. Look for 18 quickly. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus. Look at verse 17. And there was delivered to him a book of the prophet Isaiah or Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Do you see that? Is that responsibility? What are you doing for that? Is that responsibility? What are you saying that? Is that responsibility? Is that responsibility? Now, what does sonship involve? Functionality, responsibility. Right?
So this is, Jesus is saying, this is my responsibility. Hallelujah. Amen. So, because he's called Son, he will be found in this. Now, when he used the word, remember, this will happen in his hour. Right? What he said now will happen in his hour. But before then, you will see miracles and wonders that will be signs of it. Hallelujah. In John 9, where I showed you, he healed a man who was blind. And then, in chapter 9, look at it. John 9, look at verses 39. It says, he said, for judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see might, and that they which see not might see, that they which see might be blind. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I was not talking about physical blindness here or physical
sight. He was talking about spiritual.
Hallelujah. What are you following me?
Glory to God. Spiritual.
Remember in Luke 24 when he was on teaching them in verse 32,
the Bible says the things that have born within us when he was spoke to us on the way and he opened the scripture to us. That had opened his their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Well, he the one opened them, opened his views from what was previously shut. So that means when he said he opened his their understanding in Luke chapter 24, verses 45, he opened their understanding, showed that their understanding was darkened. Was okay, follow me.
Their understanding was darkened. They were blind in understanding. Hope you're following me.
So that would be the recovery of sight to them that are blind.
Hope you're following that. Now when would that happen? When would that happen rather?
In the resurrection. So in the resurrection, man will receive sight. In his eye, man will receive sight. The brokenhearted will be healed. Hope you're following me. Brokenhearted is not my boyfriend left me and my heart is broken. No.
Hallelujah.
Brokenhearted will be man without God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, follow me.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hope you are with me. In Matthew 20 also, look at Jesus. So that means the incarnation is responsibility.
Okay, follow me.
The incarnation is, so anytime you hear him say, the Son of Man, I'm the Son of Man, or the Son of God,
he's referring to his responsibility.
It is I.
The responsibility in his name. What did I hear you?
Hallelujah. Jesus will say, I must do the work of he that sent me while it is day.
Okay, follow me. So that means sonship calls for responsibility.
When you say, I'm the Son of God, you must have it at the back of your mind, the responsibility of the Son. When you say, I'm the Son of God, or I'm the Son of God, have in mind the responsibility of sonship.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. This is the sixth section.
We'll have
the six sections produced this week. Now you can listen to it. It's an assignment that everybody needs to do. You need to listen to it again before next Sunday. Everybody must make sure they listen to it again. Alongside with your notes.
Okay, everybody,
very vital.
I want to have it come out this week. I will listen to it very well. Fill your heart with this message.
Okay, everybody, fill your heart. See, don't listen to any other thing this week. Listen to this week. Let it fill your heart.
Hallelujah.
Let it fill your heart.
So when you hear Son,
Son is responsibility. Okay, everybody, I'm going to show you something else. Son is authority also. But first, it's responsibility.
Hallelujah.
It's responsibility. So when Jesus says, Son, when you're Son of Man, you must go back to what is his responsibility in the earth.
Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
So when you see that, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child. And then, yeah, the Father's house. You're thinking of mansion.
No! The Father's house is responsibility. The place is service.
Amen? The place is work.
Okay, enemy. Okay, enemy.
It's work. It's service. It's responsibility.
Glory to God. Matthew 20:28. I'll start over 26. Okay, 25. He said, and Jesus called them unto him and said, you know the prince of the Gentiles has dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so amongst you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. The word minister there is the word servant. Is the word deacon. Let him be your minister. One who serves you. Did you see that? 27. Whosoever was the chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Did you see that? And to give his life a ransom for many. Did you see that?
The Son of Man, referring to himself, came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life. That is service.
What are you saying that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So the sonship of Christ is therefore to give his life as ransom for many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So is that resurrection?
Yes.
Is that his day? Is our? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why?
We're going to see that.
Why?
I have in my notes for why.
Why was he die? Why was he resurrect? Why? That will be a Genesis fact. I will see that shortly. Hallelujah. How do we get to Genesis? Something striking that Jesus said in John chapter number 12. John 12. Very striking. Did you see that? Everything you've been reading about Jesus' sonship, is it tied to responsibility? Is it tied to functionality? Is it tied to his work? Practically, yes. So when will you be reading sonship for? I am thinking of one throne. Where you not to that and balance. All I know is to lie down, eat, sleep, and then I food. Where did you get that from? Amen. One guy like that, young guy, his name is Tarite.
You will not know him. Tarite.
Came to meet me one time. He said, sir, life is easy for me. I said, wow. So he said, because he formulated a song. I don't know where he gets that from. Maybe yesterday one of our meeters was teaching about the right. I can't really place it now. That's from a song, he says, all I know is to lie down, eat, sleep, and belly food. All I know. I'm serious. I think you blew. All I know is to lie down, eat, sleep, and belly food. Oh boy. Even Jesus didn't do that. Amen. Even night he was praying, morning he was preaching. Walk! I must walk the walk. Oh, he that says right.
Did you see that?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So let's see something quickly. So John 12, verses 24. It says, very very I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. We're going to deal with this in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. It bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto its life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Hallelujah. For and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Did you see that? If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If any man serve me. It's that sonship. We're going to deal with all that in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. Now verse 27. Talking about the very corn that falls to the ground. Now says, none is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Did you see that? For this cause.
Did I come? So is he saying for this cause that the word became flesh, right? For this cause am I a son, right? That he will lay down his life. You know, I love what he said in John chapter 10.
He says, a good shepherd lay down his life for his sheep. That is service. This is that a good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. That is service.
Hallelujah. So where will that happen in his
hand? And he employs something else that is very vital. That is a Genesis fact. He calls it except a grain of wheat. A corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It abideth single. What is he saying? What is he saying there? He's talking about the seed. And that will be Genesis. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 again. I hope you understand the way we're reading our Bibles. We're reading it so that you see from our side. Where is Jesus reading from?
Amen. Genesis 1 again. Hope you understand what we're doing. Right? You get it?
Amen. Why are you looking at me like that? Did you get what I'm saying? Amen. Well, I'm going to start again from the beginning. I'm going to start from the beginning. I'll give you my Bible. So you teach us what you really stop. Genesis 1. Now, I want to show you something.
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? 2. The earth was about form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. 3. God said, let there be light. Now, light be and light became.
Now, watch something. Now, God's plan is in all the earth. God's plan is light, right? In all the earth. But how will it happen? By the preaching of the gospel, right? But how will it happen? I love what Pastor Shegu said years back. He said, God set in motion a law in Genesis. And that law is by his seed. So it's just like asking, how will these things happen? How will it happen? How the whole earth will be full of his light? How will it happen? How the whole heaven, how will the whole earth be full of the heaven? How will it happen? It will be Genesis 11 verse 1. He said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herbs yielding seed. That's how it will happen. And the fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And so it was.
Hallelujah. So how will it happen? It will happen by the seed. So that means there will be a seed. There will be a seed that will bring all these things to pass. Hallelujah. So who will be the seed? Or what will be the seed? The seed will be Genesis 1:26. Let's make man in our image. Remember I told you, Adam as a person was not made in the image of God. Right? So Genesis 1:26 is God's dream man, just like Genesis 1:1 is God's dream world. Hallelujah. God's plan, God's vision. Hallelujah. God's dream world, God's dream man. And who is God's dream man? God's dream man is his image. Or God's dream man is his seed. What do you hear me? Is God's seed. That's God's dream man.
Hallelujah. And it will happen by the seed. So let's put it like this. God's dream world will happen by God's man. Hope you're following me. God's dream world will happen by who? God's man. Very vital. Look at Genesis 3. Again. Genesis 3. When man sinned and God was giving judgment.
Eh?
And God was passing judgment. Look at what it says in verse 15. I'll put enmity between thee and between thee and the woman. Is that? Between thee and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. Did you see that? When you say her seed.
Her seed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is the seed of the serpent? Sin, unbelief.
Yes, right? Right? That is the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent
is
activity. You find it already in Genesis. Now what
will be the seed of the woman? The seed of the woman will be the same seed in Genesis 1:11. God is always just saying
what God is doing in Genesis 3:6 is not causing woman or causing man. What God is doing is reinstating his plan in Genesis chapter 1.
He's restating his plan again. His plan for the whole earth to be his heaven. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. The whole earth to be his heaven. He's restating it. And he said it will happen by the seed. The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Now, there's a typographical error there when he said, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's actually wrong. So,
Jesus will bruise the head of the serpent and the serpent will break Jesus' heel. No, that's nonsense.
The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent and the heel. Did you see that? That's how the original put it. The head and the heel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The seed. So, there will be a seed. Hallelujah. There will be a seed. Now the seed there will not be grain. It will not be rice. Right? Grain of rice or grain of wheat. Or, no. But Moses will employ something that was used that they know in their world. Hallelujah. Something that they know in their world. A seed.
Glory to God. A seed. Even if it's in our world, we'll say, we'll buy crypto. Yes. Crypto will be the best thing. Why? Because crypto is what increases growth. It will multiply. It will multiply. Right? We use crypto. It's in our world. If
Moses was in the 21st century, he would use crypto. He will use crypto. He will use forex. Not only pink coin, this purple coin. Hallelujah. He's crypto. Okay, follow me. But he used seed. So before you think he's talking about beans or rice, no. He's talking about what? Seed. And that seed will be seed. Even he knew the seed was the person. So in Genesis chapter 4, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from God. Did you see that? Amen. He said, I've gotten a man from God. Okay, let's see something. That was the man they used for seed too, but let's see another. Okay. So I want to show you something now. Chapter number... Okay. Genesis 4. Verse 25. He said, and Adam knew his wife again, and they bore a son, and called his name Seth. Did you hear that? Seth. For God said she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. Did you see that? God himself, he said, so she knew that the seed, listen, two things you must know. She knew that the seed was going to be a man. But take note, she didn't say the seed was actually Cain. Why? I don't know who can answer that. Why did he call Cain? Why Abel whom Cain slew? But not Abel was the second child. You have to go back again to Genesis chapter 4 from the beginning to reread. When Abel's sacrifice was accepted, is a sign of the Bekorah. What is the sign of the Bekorah. So, Eve knew that, oh, the Bekorah is actually Abel, not Cain. For Cain killed Abel, and he said, no, it's going to be Seth. So he knew that the seed was a man. But when he had this seed, what he thought was going to be a man from her loins. Did you see that? Going to be a man from a child. So when Seth too got old and gave birth to another child called Enos, now say, oh, look at verse 6. And after Seth, to him also were born. I mean, was born a son and called his name Enos. Then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he heard the name Enos, Enos means death ring. So if it was automatically, when he heard the word death ring.
Which is death ring, so you put the word free. Right? Free. So automatically she knew that the seed was not going to be a man like Cain or Abel or Seth.
But in them you will have the Bekorah. Did you see that? Definitely. But it will not be the seed. Rather, as the Bekorah, what we will see in other families of God. Remember I taught you, I said, before Christ, what was the gospel preached? Right? What did they preach? Right? But we're going to discuss that.
But what you will find, hallelujah, what you will find in all the Bekorah, what will be their message will be connected to the seed.
We're connected to God's taxing of the earth. We're going to see all that in the coming days. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So their message will be concerning God's promise. God's Genesis 1. God's promise, God's taxing of the earth, and God's seed.
So how God starts the earth will be by God's seed.
That was why in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman knew that there's going to be the Messiah. Amen. He knew that there was going to be the Messiah. But the question there will not be, was he stated in a particular verse that there will be a Messiah? Emphatically, a Messiah, God, Christ? No. But when you read all the other together, you find the seed.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me.
The Messiah will come. God himself will become a man. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Amen. Amen. So, the seed will not be sick. The seed will not be headed. It can't be king. You know, the seed is connected to the what? The ratio of the seed will be in tandem with what? The Bekorah, the first son, the son. Right? Right? So, what we can see, the seed will be Christ, not man. The seed will be the man in his image, as we said, Genesis chapter number 1 verse 26, man in his image. The seed will be the man in his image.
We're not letting make man in our image, we're talking about the seed. Hallelujah. Man in our image. Let's see that.
In 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, what we just read, verses 5. We begin to round up this section. So I don't give you too much for today. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry, verse 4. In whom the God of Lord has done the minds of them will be released the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Did you see that?
Christ, who is the image of God. Direct Greek word for the Hebrew word image. Did you see that? Direct. Who is the image? So who is the image of God? Christ. So Genesis 1:26 was actually Christ. Did you see that? Amen.
Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hope you're following that.
So, when you now have Adam, Adam will now be God's son, who is, listen, God's son, who is to talk about God's image. Amen. Remember, how will you get to God's image? By believing. Right? So, when Adam believes, and Adam is called God's son, was Adam in God's image? Was Adam in God's image? Am I saying so? Was Adam in God's image? When a man believed in the Old Testament, were they in God's image?
We're going to get to solve that. We're going to see that soon. Hallelujah. Was man in God's image? Because Jesus is the image of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before Jesus, man was not in the image of God.
Hope you're hearing me. We're going to see all that. Hallelujah. But Jesus made it possible for man to be in God's image. Hallelujah. But before that, what happened? Just as I said, what was preached as a promise of God's image. So God's image was a promissory note.
Hope you're hearing me. God's image was a promissory note.
Hallelujah. But when they believed, God was with them.
Hallelujah. But yes, they are not in God's image.
God's image was a promise for Christ to come. So God's image was available, but was not possible.
Hope you're hearing me. Was available, but wasn't possible. But they will be called sons.
Hallelujah.
They'll be called sons because of that responsibility. Hope you're hearing me. They'll be called sons because of that responsibility placed on them. in the preaching of the gospel. Hope you're listening to me now. Hallelujah. Come, that responsibility placed on them. In the preaching of the gospel, they will be called sons to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So, when you bear that role of the Bekura, you are actually saying, as you preach the gospel and show them the way, you are also standing in the stead of the Bekura itself. The Bekura itself, the firstborn himself, is going to be the Christos. But you stand in that stead, though not though available but not yet possible, but will be possible in the resurrection. We're going to see all that next week. I will then see our place in the Bekura today. It's just like in their world, they will preach of they, and I say this a whole lot of times, there's no difference between them and us. Why? Because they preached of the gospel as a promise to us. We preach the gospel as what God has done. Did you see that? And what God has done. They, what God will do. Men believed and were saved. Remember, that many had believed, he gave them the right. Listen to that. That's the word he was watched. John 1:12. Remember, I told you we're going to investigate that in the coming days. He gave them the rights. The rights there, that word right there is used for a delegated responsibility, a delegated position. He gave them the right to be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. He gave them the right to be called. But we that are in his image, we are his sons. Hope you are following me. But did they later eventually get to the image? Listen to the message on promised land. By the resurrection, they were all saved together with us. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. I told someone just some few months back, I told the person, if Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah are not found in the image of God today, then our hope of the resurrection, our hope of immortality, our hope of our body being changed is in vain. They must be found first in Christ's image. Then you know that your hope of the mortal body being changed is still in you. Hallelujah. They had hope and Christ did come. Hallelujah. We investigate all this. You see, we have a whole lot to look at, right? Right? The preaching of the gospel. So we have a responsibility in all the earth. Hallelujah. Learn something? Talk to someone and share with the person.